Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Popcorn, put on your comfiest pajamas and grab a drink because it's time for a new episode of Sierra Unfiltered. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to, is this episode 16?
Something like that.
That's crazy. That means we've been doing this for like over 16 weeks because I think we've missed two episodes.
That is nuts.
This has been like the coolest journey. And then also, now, if you guys saw on my main channel, we are doing a live podcast recording and show to celebrate my main channel hitting 1 million subscribers.
I am so excited. I feel like when we were talking about, because, I mean, Sierra, we've talked about this on the podcast before, I feel like is very weary of saying, like, when I hit 1 million, because it just has felt so far away. But, like, as we're recording this, you're, what, 5,000?
I think, like, 7,500 away.
Like, that's nuts. Like, it is going to happen.
I feel like this is when we booked the venue for this event about a week ago. Mm-hmm. And I think once we did that, and I was still not calling it my, like, 1 million subscriber celebration because I was like, I might not hit it. I don't know. And then now I feel comfortable being like, this is a celebration for when I hit 1 million subscribers.
Like, not to be, like, a number obsessed person, but, like, Sierra, do you realize you're 7,000 away? And today alone, you've gained 5,000 subscribers.
That's so crazy.
Like, you're for sure going to hit it by this time next month.
Yeah. That's, I think still in my brain, I get into that way of like, well, what if literally no one else subscribed forever and I was stuck at whatever exact number I am right now? But like, for all intents and purposes, like, it's gonna happen most likely.
You're so cute. It's gonna happen.
Maybe. But, and then literally in 3 weeks, we'll be doing this, but with like, instead of just talking to the camera and then everyone watching this like 3 days later, there'll be like 300 people like watching us record this live.
I know. So if you're a podcast listener, which you're listening to the podcast, hello, so podcast congratulations, you are a podcast listener. I would really, really, really love for you to come to the show. Because I think that, like, all of Sierra's audiences, it's, like, amazing for everyone to come because it's really is a celebration of her hitting 1 million and a live podcast recording is how we've decided to celebrate. Because I feel like, speaking for you, I think it's one of your favorite things that we do.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the podcast is one of my favorite things. And then just, like, meeting my subscribers and my viewers. Yeah. Like, I've talked to YouTubers who are like, I hate meet and greets. Like, oh, it's so stressful. And I'm like, I would do anything to get to do a meet and greet.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely. I fought so hard to try to get a meet and greet at VidCon last year and they didn't give it to me.
Yeah.
And then it was so frustrating for me to talk to subscribers or to talk to other YouTubers who were like, I have a meet and greet later. Like, I can't believe I have to do that. And I'm like, I would kill to be in your position.
Oh, absolutely.
And so I'm so excited. This is my first ever meet and greet. Like,
it's crazy.
I'm so excited. So tickets are on sale. If you're watching this the day it comes out, tickets are on sale tomorrow. If you're watching this anything other than Monday, that means they're already on sale. So you can go to SierraUnfiltered.com. The tickets start at $10. We wanted to keep them as inexpensive as we could. I actually, I fought to keep them at $10. The venue that we were doing, and Steven and even like everyone around me was like, you should do like 20 or 25 or 30. And I'm like, I don't want to make money off of this.
Well, there was a point when Sierra was really pushing for free tickets.
Yeah.
And me and Steven and everyone were like, logistically, like, you're going to have to pay, like, a $6 service fee for each of the tickets. And then also, like, insurance and all these different things. And so we're like, Sierra, can we please just get it to $10? So that's, she really, really,
I mean. My compromise.
Yeah. Both of us really wanted to keep it
yeah.
at a low price. Yeah. But. I feel like I'm so excited. And it would be so, so cool to have podcast listeners in the audience.
I know.
Because how fun for people to be like, I know what's next. A hot take.
Yeah.
And also we have a really fun episode planned.
Yeah. It's
for that.
It's going to be really fun. I won't spoil it. And then so there's the $10 ticket. There's a $20 meet and greet ticket
mm-hmm.
Where you'll meet me before the show and then you'll get to watch the show. And then there is a $40 VIP ticket where you get to party with us after. We're doing,
like, we're talking karaoke.
We're talking photo booth.
We're talking lots of fun food options.
Are we still, I'm not confirming anything, but we may or may not have a mashed potato bar.
I was going to say it, and then I was like, I don't want this to be like a TanaCon situation yeah. where people are like, they said there were going to be potatoes and there weren't like,
what
potatoes.
If we because we're talking to the caterer for the event right now, and they're like, oh yeah, like one of the options is a mashed potato bar. So I'm going to like push for that, but like no promises. It might not happen. Don't buy the ticket thinking like 100% you're getting a mashed potato bar, but like most likely.
But most likely. It's going to be so much fun. I'm currently looking at DJs for the event.
Yes.
And I, like, when I'm looking, I'm specifically looking for people that, like, play fun party music, but also seem like they would have a grasp on what I mean when I say, like, early 2000s Disney,
yes.
like, girl anthems.
Yes. And we need to book the karaoke machine, too.
Yes.
Or, like, the karaoke everything. Like, maybe we could get a DJ that also brings karaoke stuff.
That's the game plan.
Okay, cool.
I'm so excited, guys.
It's gonna be so cool. When we were planning this, because originally I was gonna do, like, a live show and then have, like, a party with my family and friends to, like, celebrate hitting a million. And then I was like, why don't I just do both at the same time and yeah. also have my viewers at this party? So I'm so excited.
It's so surreal. It's crazy.
It's crazy. I can't believe it's actually happening.
I know. You guys, this is going to be great.
I'm so excited.
Okay. Do we want to get into the episode?
Yes. Okay. So we're going to talk about our New York trip, which mm-hmm. was 2 weeks ago now.
Yeah.
We were going to film this right when we got back, but Skylar got a really bad cold. I felt so bad for you.
Well, the worst thing is, like, I'm still kind of sneezy and, like, nasally,
yeah.
but it's literally been 3 weeks, 2 weeks, something 2 weeks, like that. Yeah. And so I, like, went to the doctor for it when it, like, first hit. And she was like, yeah, sometimes in pregnancy, colds just last, like, a month, 2 months. Like, your immune system's kind of shot. So, I was like, well, okay, great. Like, I'm glad I'm not contagious anymore. But, like, I have to film my podcast to do things where I can't just be, like, sniffling into the mic. Like, yeah. even I listened to part of the Carrie Dayton one, and I was like, I sound so sniffly. Like,
you
you
didn't, just, you know, from an outside perspective, you didn't sound sniffly. You sounded
thank you.
Beautiful.
I think my voice is already kind of nasally, and so it just is, like,
you enhanced. Think your voice is nasally?
Okay, I was talking to Kyle about this, very side note. Someone messaged me on Instagram the other day, and they're like, I hope this isn't creepy, but, like, I would love if you did ASMR sometime because your voice is very soothing. And I was like, I literally, like, I know everyone thinks their voice is annoying,
yeah.
but, like, I know my voice is
annoying. Well, I also know my voice is annoying because that's, like, one of the most common hate comments. I don't even classify it as a hate comment because I'm like, yeah.
You're like, yeah,
I
know.
With you. But people are like, her voice is so annoying. Her voice is so annoying. I'm like, yes, I am. Thank you. I know.
Thank you. I've worked on it for many years.
So I don't think yours is annoying. Also, you're not as loud as me. So even your voice isn't annoying. But let's say your voice was annoying.
You're just, like, quiet annoying. I feel like I'd rather be loud annoying because then you could say, like, the reason why you're annoying is because you're loud. But when you're quiet annoying, it's just like, no, you're annoying.
But you're not annoying. You're really not.
How many times can we say annoying?
Annoying. In our annoying voices.
Oh,
annoying.
Gosh. But do we want to, before we get into our New York trip,
yeah.
do we want to do our hot takes?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Okay. So this episode is going to be kind of emotional for me later on because I kind of had an existential crisis in New York. Ding. So I'm going to keep my hot take light.
Okay.
And also, Skylar pointed out that, like, all my hot takes are about food.
Well, we always sit down, like, right when we're about to start filming. Like, we don't talk about them before because we want to, like, genuinely talk about our hot takes really for the first time when we're recording. But we always, like, give each other a heads up just to make sure we aren't doing the same thing. And I've realized that literally every episode, Sierra does one that's food-related. And then I do one that I think is going to be really controversial, but then people in the comments are, like, up in arms about yours.
Yeah. Like,
like, don't care. When I'm like, don't put your children on the internet. Like, zoos are bad.
The last episode.
And they're like, oh, I'll fight you over tomatoes.
The last episode, everyone's like, Skylar, I totally get you. Like, you know, I think some parents go too far putting their kids on the internet. And then to me, they're like, Sierra, you are literally Satan. Tomatoes are the best part of a burger. You can shut your mouth.
And so we sat down and I was like, okay, like, mine's like a little controversial again. And Sierra's like, mine is about pizza.
Yeah.
So do you want to get into yours?
So I think that pizza is just okay. I don't think that I'm not sitting here saying pizza sucks. I don't think pizza sucks. There have been, I would say, maybe 3 occasions where I've been like, I really want to order a pizza and watch a movie. Like, that has happened. However, I don't think it's, like, great. Like, I just, like, we posed with pizza for the photo shoot, the Sierra Unfiltered photo shoot, and then I, like, didn't eat the pizza. Like, I just don't really like it.
You know, Sierra, thinking back, every other hot take that you've done about food, I've, like, kind of just loosely agreed with. Like, yeah, like, I agree Shapes mac and cheese is better. I agree I don't like tomatoes on my hamburgers. I will fight you on this.
You love pizza?
First of all, I love pizza so much. Like, literally, I have the taste palette of a toddler. Like, it's a running joke that wherever we go, I order off the kids' menu. Even at my favorite vegan fast food place that's, like, in San Diego, I order off of the kids' menu there. Like, I don't have a complex flavor palette. Yeah. And I feel like a cheese pizza is always an easy go-to. And at, like, all of the, like, pizza places that are now kind of like Chipotle, like Mod or Blaze, they always have a vegan cheese.
Yeah.
And so I feel like it's a really good,
have you ever noticed that whenever we're, like, going out to eat for a shoot and you suggest, like, 2 places and one is a pizza place, I always, like, jump on the other idea?
Yes. I do know this. Like, literally, I remember very distinctly, I think the only time I recall you, like, enjoying pizza was the night that you and Steven moved into this house. Mm-hmm. Kyle and I, like, helped you guys. And then we were leaving and you guys, like, had your air mattress in the living room and it was cute. And I was like, oh, like, are you guys gonna, like, have pizza and wine? Like, that's such, like, a cute thing. And you're like, oh, I was thinking of having, like, veggie chicken nuggets. But, like, pizza is kind of cute. And then I think you ordered it, like, for the, like, nostalgia cute factor, but I don't know if that was, like, what your taste buds really wanted.
Like, I will take a veggie burger over a pizza any day. Like, and I'll eat pizza. Like, if I'm there, I'll have, like, if I'm at someone's house and they order pizza, I'll have the pizza, whatever. I just don't think it's, like, that great. Like, when people are like, pizza is bae, like, I love pizza, I'm like, it's fine. Like, I kind of feel like the way I kind of feel like pizza and celery are in the same domain, where I'm like,
what?
Celery's fine. Like, if it's there, I'll have it with a little bit of peanut butter. Like, if I have pizza, dip a little bit of marinara sauce, delicious. But, like, it's not.
I'm all, don't mind me just texting Steven because I think you're on crack. I, like, need to go. like, are you kidding me? Pizza is the same as celery.
Actually, I kind of like celery more than pizza. Celery's great. It's fresh. It's crisp.
Guys, the live show is canceled. Sierra and I are no longer friends.
Our friendship is over.
I just, like, literally, like, probably once a week on our, like, menu rotation in our house, we'll get the Trader Joe's pizza crust, which is vegan, which is so good. And then, like, vegan mozzarella, vegan ricotta, some mushrooms, some spinach.
Oh, I hate mushrooms.
Some garlic. You hate mushrooms?
Yes. The texture is weird. Okay, I'm sorry.
You're weird.
Do your hot take, you weirdo.
My hot take, similar to pizza, just girly things. I think that it is really unhealthy when people post on Instagram or Facebook, especially Facebook, or Twitter or whatever, and are like, Marriage is so hard. We fight every day. I hate my husband. He's the literal worst. But, like, we're together, and that's what marriage is. Marriage isn't beautiful. Marriage sucks. But, like, we're in it for the long haul. I feel like I see that happen at least once a week.
Yep.
Mostly on Facebook. And I just, like, I understand that there are things that come up in life that, like, will make marriage harder yes. at certain points than others.
Yeah.
Like, Kyle and I have gone through, like, rough, like, weeks where, like, a really, really important family member died. Or, like, we're stressed out because we're moving. Or, like, something big happens and it's, like, hard.
Yeah.
But that's, like, a couple days or a week. Like, I understand that. Obviously, everyone's in a different situation. If your husband's deployed, if you're deployed, if whatever, like, I get that it's not all sunshine and rainbows, but I would venture to say that marriage should be at least 95% sunshine and rainbows.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I think I am hesitant to, like, fervently agree just because I've only been married for 2 years.
Yeah.
So maybe 30 years down the line, Stephen and I will have, like, a really rough patch where we, like, hate each other for a year. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think...
But don't you agree that marriage should make your life easier yes. and not harder?
That's what I think when, especially people our age who are recently married or not yeah. even married and are just like, my boyfriend sucks, but I love him.
Like, I've literally seen, like, 20-year-olds post and yep. be like, marriage is the hardest thing I've ever done. And I'm like, you've been married for a month. Yeah. Like, what is going on?
I think marriage makes my life exponentially easier.
Yeah.
I think it's life that's hard mm-hmm. and not marriage that's hard.
Exactly.
I think my life would be a lot less happy and a lot more difficult if Steven wasn't in it.
Yeah.
Because when I get stressed and I have a video deadline that I'm trying to hit and I have to pack for a trip and I have all this stuff, Steven will, like, do the dishes and clean up and come give me a big hug and a kiss on the forehead and be like, you got this. I believe in you.
Yeah.
It's hard, but it's not our relationship that's hard. It's my life that's hard, and he yeah. makes it better. And there are times when I'm so mad at him and we're arguing and whatever, but that's, like, a night or yeah. a day. And I think for me, it's like, if I've been in relationships that I thought, oh, this is forever or whatever, and it was not a good relationship.
Yeah.
And I look back on that, I'm like, that wasn't healthy. Like, that would have been a hard marriage if I had married that person.
Yeah.
And I think if it's that difficult, maybe that's not the right person for you.
Agree. So that's my hot take. I feel like that's that on that. I think it's different too, like, if you're talking to your girlfriends, and, like, if I was talking to you and I was like, ugh, like, Kyle's being so difficult this week.
We do that all the time.
Yada, like, yada,
and
yada.
They do that about us.
And I still feel like you shouldn't have to complain about your partner that much.
Right.
But also, I think what I'm talking about specifically is, like, going on social media and posting, like, a photo shoot of, like, you and your husband and being like, wow, really hate him sometimes, yeah. but, like, we're stuck together. Like, I just...
Well, I also think it's the tone of it. When we vent about the boys or the boys vent about us, it's yeah. always like, ugh, you won't believe what they did.
Yeah.
So silly. Like, oh, they're so dumb or whatever. It's not like, I hate him.
Yeah. No. I think that, like, both you and I have only come to each other maybe once or twice.
Being like,
I am really mad about this.
Yeah.
And both of us have been dating Kyle and Steven for, like, more than 4 years.
Yeah.
Like, I think that.
Usually when we come to each other, it's like,
oh my gosh, you won't believe he pooped with the door open. And then I, like, started gagging. Or what, you know what, like, it's like silly things.
Yeah.
It's not like serious relationship things.
Right.
But anyways, so.
What's your bump date?
Oh, my bump date? What is my bump date? Oh, I'm in my third trimester, which is exciting. So I'm 7 months pregnant, which is freaking nuts.
You are no way. There's no way you're 7 months. What?
Isn't that crazy?
Like, you're so pregnant.
I'm so pregnant. It's funny because I feel like we talked about this briefly, and I won't get into it because I feel like we have a lot to talk about on this podcast. But I just want to say, like, once again, if you see someone who's pregnant and you, like, ask or know how pregnant they are, don't say, like, oh, like, you're so small. Or like, oh, your stomach is so small. Like, that's not a compliment. Because, yeah, like, that's happened to me multiple times recently. Like, that literally happened to me on Sunday when I was at the doctor's getting my blood drawn. Like, my nurse was super nice. But then she was like, oh, my gosh, like, your stomach is so small. And I was like, okay. Like that's not a compliment.
Yeah. Like, what and do you say to,
like,
that?
Like, literally, there's no response. Like, I feel like it's already unwarranted when people comment on your size, like, when you're not pregnant. But when you're pregnant, the goal is literally to, like, grow. Like, get larger. So, anyways, that's just my thing. Because I feel like anytime that I tell people where I'm at now, especially as I get, like, further and further into my pregnancy, I feel like half the time that's, like, the response because I think they think they're complimenting me.
Yeah.
But, like, that's not a compliment. Like, I'm happy when I have to buy things, like, in a size bigger than I usually am. Like, that's a good,
yeah,
that's a good thing. It means I'm growing.
It is a good thing. And I think it's crazy that even when it comes to pregnancy, there's still this fixation on women being small and taking, yeah, up less space.
Oh, yeah.
And that's, like, especially to the older generation, like, that's the biggest compliment is, like, oh, you've hardly gained any weight, like, you're, yeah, so small. But it's like you said, that's not your goal.
No,
your goal is not to be small. Your goal is to get bigger and grow a baby.
Yeah, I've literally heard, like, the craziest things since being pregnant of people being like, when I was pregnant, like, my claim to fame was that no one could tell I was pregnant, and, like, from behind, like, I looked, like, the same. Or, like, no one could tell I was pregnant until I was 5 months. Or no one could tell I was pregnant until blah, 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 blah. And it's like, no, like, you're growing a human. Like, oh, my gosh.
You know, anyways, what we should do before you give birth is we should get Kenzie on here and do a podcast.
I was texting her last night about that.
Wait, really?
Yeah. She was like, we should figure out when to do that if you guys still want to do that. And I was like, yes, of course we want
to
do it.
Because I was going to say we could do a whole episode on, like, things not to say to someone when they're pregnant.
Yeah.
But we could tie that into the episode, which I think would be really interesting because Kenzie has a baby. You're going to have a baby. And Steven and I are getting closer to, like, trying to have a baby. Yeah. So it's, like, three different stages. I think, yes, that could be really interesting.
No, 1,000,000% yes.
Yeah.
I feel like, I mean, not to set it in stone, but I feel like that'll probably be one of our next episodes.
I hope so.
I guess.
Yeah, let's do it.
Anyways, do, yeah, we want to get into New York?
So Skylar and I went to New York to film a video and to go to Ipsy Live, formerly Generation Beauty. Mm-hmm. And it was great. We had a great time.
I put on my New York sweatshirt to, like, represent, but now I'm a little sweaty. So sorry for all the viewers of the podcast if you just slowly
see. Do you want me to turn the AC on?
No, it's fine. Because, sure, then it'll, like, be noisy. I'm fine. All right. I'll just sweat it out. You let me borrow your deodorant this morning.
I did.
So it's okay.
Skylar was like, I'll wipe it off. I was like, you're fine. Like, I'm not, like, concerned about your armpit germs.
I had a very stressful morning. But it's okay. Anyway, so we went to Ipsy Live.
Yes, we did.
We had a great time.
It was like, we've talked about our BeautyCon experience. It, yes, was, like, literally the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I felt like the environment was so welcoming and warm. We met so many fantastic people, both viewers of my channel and, yeah, just random people we were talking to. Like, so wonderful, so nice.
Also, just all throughout New York. Yeah. Like, I don't think I've ever been with you where you've been stopped so much by, like, people who were so kind.
Everyone was just so, like, nice and, yeah, and warm. And as my channel's grown, I get stopped in public by, like, viewers more often.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because I don't think I notice. I don't notice when my channel's growing and my audience is growing. Yeah. But then, like, last time I went to New York, I got stopped maybe, like, 4 or 5 times. And this time it was maybe, like, 20 or 30 mm-hmm. times. And I'm like, whoa, my channel's growing so much.
Yeah. Well, and everyone is just, like, was so, so sweet and, yeah, so kind.
Yeah.
Like, oh,
yeah.
I can't think of anyone who wasn't anything but amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Which is so awesome.
I also think it's so cool that, like, the podcast listeners and the viewers of my main channel are, like, the kind of people that we would be friends with in real life.
Yeah.
So it's not like if I was making content for, like, 8-year-olds, I wouldn't feel as connected. But, like, yeah, the way I was describing it to someone is, I was like, I'm much more likely to run into one of my viewers at a bar than I would be, like, at my little brother's high school football game.
Yeah.
Or high school basketball game because, no, he doesn't play football.
100%.
But, and I think that's cool in, mm-hmm, that, like, when we meet people, like, not only do we have a lot to talk about because they're, like, viewers.
Yeah.
But also because, like, they're cool people.
Well, and also it's crazy because I feel like both of us just are, I shouldn't speak for you. Me, and I think you feel the same.
Mm-hmm.
just kind of view the podcast as like us talking. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't actually think that there are listeners to the podcast. I feel like the like views all come from like Kyle, my stepdad. Like, I can't comprehend that. So it's so crazy to me when we meet people and they like not only like know who you are and like know about your main channel, but are like, oh my gosh, I love the podcast. Like, congrats on the pregnancy, or I love your hot takes or whatever. I just feel like it's so cool and awesome that people like actually sit down and listen to us talk.
Yeah, that's why I think the live show is going to be so fun too, because it's like everyone there like is like knows you and like knows me.
It'll be so cool. So weird.
Because sometimes when people would come up to us like at Ipsy Live, they'd be like, oh, I saw your one video about XYZ. Yeah. And so it's like they know who I am and they've seen one video, but they don't like know us. And it's cool to think about like the people that are going to be at the live show like know us.
I know. It's so weird. It's so like weird. How weird that everyone who's going to be there will know that like you're not the biggest fan of pizza. Like little like funny tidbits. Yeah. Or like they'll know about like me pooping on the side of the road naked. like these people know us.
It's so crazy. But it was really, really fun. Aside from just being in New York, seeing shows, meeting viewers, I think us traveling together was really fun because we got to have some like, aside from my existential crisis that happened on the last day, we just got to have some really cool talks. And I think having all that time, just the two of us, gives us an opportunity to just have those conversations where it's like, what do you think about this? What do you think about that?
Totally. Well, and even we went to dinner together this Saturday night and we just were like talking about like video games and whatever. And Kyle, we left and Kyle was like, I just love talking to Sierra and Steve. And, I was like, yeah, me too. But like, I feel like I don't know what to ask Sierra because we spend so much time together that, like,
we know everything.
I have to just ask Steven questions because, like, I know everything that's going on in your life. I can't be like, oh, what are your plans for the week?
You're like, I know. I've seen them on the production schedule.
I literally, like, we spent all day together and then we spent yesterday together. But so it's cool to, when we have, like, long stretches of time, I feel like we can get into more of, like, the nitty gritty, like conversations you would have at like a sleepover.
Yes.
Or like if you like had a couple beers.
Yes.
You know?
So I wrote a couple things down that we had talked about that I thought would be interesting to share with you guys. So the first was like on the first night when Skylar was like getting ready for bed and we were talking about how pregnant she is. And I was like, what are to you the best and worst parts of being pregnant? So do you want to share those?
Ooh, I don't know if I remember what I said, so I'm just going to, like, go off the cuff.
I wrote them up there on the outline.
That's very sweet. So my favorite thing is that, like, I know that I'm going to know my baby for the rest of my life. Like, there's, like, other than Kyle, like, there's literally no one else that I can say that for. Like, I'm 99.9% certain that you and I are going to know each other for the rest of our lives. Yeah. And, like, I, like, think that with my family. I think that with a lot of people. But, like he's my son. he's literally, like, for sure going to outlive me. For sure. Like, he's just going to be there for everything.
And you're growing him right now. And, like, when you get to, when he's here and you get to know him and his personality and his likes and dislikes, like, those are going to be things that you know forever.
And even just, like, his face. Like, right now, I don't know. Like, does he have, like, my eyes or Kyle's eyes or my nose or Kyle's nose? Like, I don't know. He could come out. Like, I have one of my half-siblings has, like, super curly, like, afro curly blonde hair. Yeah. And, like, my mom has, like, kind of gingery hair. Like, I don't know. He could come out and be, like, a little ginger. like, in my brain, I'm picturing him this one way. But once I see him, then he'll just, like, keep growing, if that makes sense, but he'll still be the same human. And so I'm just like really excited to get to know him. And it's so fun, cool. Like every little thing, because I feel like I'm really trying to make an active effort to like not push any personality traits on him already, because I feel like that's something I'm really bad at with like even like my cats. And I'm like, oh, Olive is so this way and like Toothless is so this way. And so like, I feel like it would be so easy to be like, oh my God, he's like the most active, crazy baby in the world, which means that he's this, that, and the other. But instead just being like, he's the most active, crazy baby in the world. And I don't know what that means yet, you know? And so that's like the best thing about pregnancy. It's just like, I feel like it's really cool too, because I have gone through some really sad points in my pregnancy. Like, I've been in 2 car crashes since I've been pregnant, and had like really important family members die. I had a pet die. And I feel like through all of that, it's really cool knowing that like I am not alone, and that there's like a bigger picture. Because I feel like we've talked about, obviously, on our mental health podcast, of like, I think sometimes it's hard when you're in a really low space to like remember to take care of yourself. But like, I literally like have to keep eating. Like, I have to like pull myself out of bed and like go for a walk, because like, it's not just about me. It's like me and him.
Which kind of goes into what you said was like your least favorite part.
Yeah, I think it's hard because I recognize that like, he's a separate person from me. And so I want to do like everything I can to take care of him. Like, even like, I'm so like regimented about taking like all of my vitamins. And so I take them like right before I go to bed is when I take like the lump sum of them. And last night I woke up at like 2 a.m. and I remembered that like I hadn't taken my vitamins. So I literally like got up out of bed at 2 a.m. and Kyle's like, "What are you doing?" And I was like, "I have to take my vitamins." And I like went and like got a water bottle and like did the whole thing. So I was like, this can't wait until the morning. Like, he needs all of his nutrients like right now. And so I think it's hard though, because like, since I'm the one carrying him, I don't want to be an inconvenience to anyone, but also he's my number one priority. So it's hard when like I haven't eaten and I'm hungry, because if I hadn't eaten and I was hungry and it was just me, I would just like push it off and like literally not bring it up ever, because I'm just kind of that kind of person. But it's hard because I have to eat because he is hungry,
right?
If that makes sense. Like, it's weird being like dependent on people, and also like not being as able-bodied as I was. Like, even little things, like the other day I came in and you were like, "Okay, so me, Carly, and Steven have talked, and you are no longer allowed to carry packages from upstairs." And which is like so sweet and wonderful and like definitely like the best thing.
Right.
But there have been multiple times where I'm like, I feel really bad asking Carly to like go downstairs and get this package for me. Like, I just wish that I could do it so that I'm not inconveniencing someone. But like, I understand it's for the greater good. The greater good is my child.
Yeah.
But it's hard, because I'm just someone who I always put myself last, which, yeah, like, I should probably work on. That's, like, how we always say, like, you should work on that. But that is just kind of, like, who I am.
Yeah.
I will work on that. But it is hard,
yeah,
to kind of balance that.
When I wish that you could care for yourself that much.
Yeah.
Without being pregnant. But at the end of the day, I'm glad that at least being pregnant is, like, helping you,
yeah,
to take better care of yourself, even if it's not really for yourself.
It's really weird, because I think like how I just thought of it is like if here's my list of priorities, Skylar's like here, and then my son is like here,
yeah,
which means that in turn right now I'm like here.
Yeah.
Like, that means I like have to be very high up, because the only person that can take care of him is like
is you,
me taking care of myself.
Yeah.
But so I'm hoping that once I'm not pregnant, I'll be like here.
Yeah, I think that would be really good.
For the people just listening, they're, yeah, like, what where is she is doing here with her hands? What is here? But yeah, on that note, I asked you in turn, mm-hmm, what is your favorite and least favorite thing about being a YouTuber?
Yeah, so my favorite thing easily is just like meeting people, like, mm-hmm, meeting viewers, meeting other creators, meeting even like people from brands, like, yeah, just meeting people. I am such a people person.
Yeah.
And like, it's so cool that the internet gives me this opportunity to like show who I am to, mm-hmm, people. And then like, when they meet me, they know me. And especially, yeah, because like, I think, at least I hope, I am pretty much the same person online and in real life.
Oh, you're literally the exact same person. Like, we were talking the other day, not to get off topic, but we were talking about like how to make yourself the least intimidating YouTuber possible.
Like, I don't
want, because like, that's the goal.
That's the goal. I don't want anyone to ever be like, "Oh, there's Sierra. Like, I don't know if I should go up to her." Like, "Hi, I want to be approachable. Please come talk to me. I would love to talk to you."
Yeah. And so I feel like you're exactly the same.
Yeah. And I try to be. And so I think I don't get nervous about meeting people, because I'm like, oh, cool, they already know me. I don't have to keep, there's no front that I'm, yeah, keeping up. Like, I'm just me. And especially since talking more about body positivity, talking about my struggles, trying to like show sides of my body and my personality that maybe I'm not as comfortable with.
Yeah.
I feel like I have nothing to hide.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, if you see me in person, like, this is basically the same as you watching me on the screen.
Yeah.
And so I think I don't get nervous about meeting people because they already know all the weird quirks about me. So if they've chosen to, like, subscribe and watch, then they must, like, that must not bother them that I have all these weird quirks.
Well, and also, like, I mean, a good part of your channel is, like, wearing the ugliest clothes, like, facing, like, my personal fears and my, like,
insecurities.
I feel like if they're meeting you at, like, Target or Disneyland when you're just, like, in yoga pants and a t-shirt, but they've seen you in, like, a rainbow fish outfit, like, playing Pokemon.
Yeah.
Like, they already know.
I'm not going to let them. I hope that no one will be let down by meeting me.
Yeah.
So I think that is by far my favorite part. I think the hardest part and the hardest part for me to reconcile is what I tell to people a lot when they're insecure.
Yeah.
Is like, no one is looking at you. No one is judging you. Like you said, when you walk down the stairs in your swimsuit when you were 10 years old, no one's looking at you.
Yeah.
But the reality of being a public figure is people are. Yeah. They are looking at me. They are judging me. They are zooming in on my legs to see my cellulite. And they are screenshotting my worst angles and saying, oh, look at this. Look at that. Like they are like examining when I gain weight, like there are people who are looking and judging, and like that's hard because I think something that brought me a lot of solace was like, especially as like a teenager, was like, no one's looking at me, it's in my head, like no one cares that like my arm looks a little bit more like chubby in this photo, but like people do.
Well, and I think that yes, it is a thing when it comes to, like, photos and stuff. But even a lot of the times, like, in person, like, I'll notice when we're together, we'll, like, pass by someone, and you'll be like, they were looking at us, right? And I'll be like, yes. I think that it's something where it's not only, like, you have to realize that people are, like, analyzing what you're doing online, but, like, sometimes you'll just be at the mall, and people will be watching you, which is, like, hard.
Yeah,
because sometimes you just want to go to the mall and, like, not have people be like, oh, I know who that is.
Well, and that's the thing, too, is I think I love when people approach me. I don't like when people, like, follow me or, like, look at me weird and then don't say anything because I'm like, is there something in my teeth or do you watch my videos?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It is a hard balance.
I think that's the hardest thing for me, though. But you know what? It's, like, it comes with the territory. And that's fine. Like, it is what it is. And I'm lucky that, like, the vast majority of my audience is, like, so great and so encouraging and, like, doesn't look at my photos and instantly go to everything that's wrong with me or, like, things in my body that are changing.
Yeah.
But, like, encourages me. And so I think I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah. And then we also talked about our favorite and least favorite things with marriage.
Yeah.
So do we each want to say our favorite things and then each say our least favorite things?
Yeah, that's good.
Ooh, what did I say my favorite was? Oh, I said my favorite was just, like, being obsessed with him. and I feel like Sierra can vouch for me, like, I just, like, am obsessed with Kyle.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I literally, like, sorry, I'm saying, like, so much. I already can tell that people in the comments are going to be like, stop saying, like. Mm. But I think that I get home from work, and all I want to do is, like, be with Kyle. So, like, last night, that meant that as soon as he got home, we cooked dinner together. And then, like, we watched a Shane Dawson video together. And then we gave the cats a bath together. And then, like, we just do everything. Like, if he's out doing dishes, I, like, sit at the bar and just, like, talk to him. The whole, like, we don't, I don't want to be apart from him. If ever, like, there are very few situations in life where I feel like Kyle's presence doesn't enhance the situation.
Yeah.
Like, there are occasionally nights where I'm like, it would be really great, like, just to hang out with Sierra. But also I feel like most of the time I'm like, it would be really great to hang out with, like, Sierra and Steven and Kyle.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I think that I just really, really, really think of him as, like, first and foremost, my best friend and life partner.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really wonderful that I get to have a best friend who I get to, like, live with and have a child with and go through everything in life with, because I don't think that's necessarily a requirement for marriage. No. I know plenty of people who are married and super happy and fulfilled in their marriage, but also have another best friend or multiple best friends. Obviously, Sierra is also my best friend. Jessica is also my best friend. But I think that, like, I'm so grateful that I get to come home and, like, live with and go through everything with my best friend.
My favorite thing about marriage is kind of similar to what you said at the end. My favorite thing is, like, doing life together.
Yeah.
Like, going through everything in life together. Like, again, with me saying, like,
it's okay. I feel like that's just...
Just gotta go with it. It's just us. But I, especially with getting married younger, I know that all of these different things are going to happen in life, and our lives are going to change. Our families are going to change. Our bodies are going to change if mm-hmm. we're going to be together forever. And I love that. Like, yeah. I love it. I don't want to go through life alone anymore. And mm-hmm. like, I posted about this on my Instagram story last week, but like, someone was like, did you always think you were going to get married young? And I'm honestly, when I was in high school, I said I never wanted to get married. I was like, I am a boss lady, feminist, like, marriage is just, like, continuing the patriarchy, and, like, I want to be a businesswoman, and, like, no one can hold me back. And then I met Steven, and I was like, oh my gosh, my life is just so, so much better with you, and, like, going, like, I can do all the things that I want to do. And that's the other thing, is, like, meeting someone like him who, like, he believes in me more than I do. And so, like, he'll tell me, like, you can do this. I believe in you. Like, I'm proud of you. And so, like, still getting to do all the things I want to do, but doing them together. Like, going to, like, I got nominated for a Streamy Award. I got to celebrate that with Steven. Like, we get to go together. And, like, there's going to be a lot of great things in life like that. And then we're also going to have to deal with, like, deaths and, like, difficult financial situations and difficult parenting decisions when we have kids. But, like, I want to do that with him. And I think that's, like, the coolest thing about marriage.
Cece, I'm going to cry. Well, I love you and I love Steven so much. Like, both as individuals and you guys together. It's just truly, like, a powerful dynamic. Mm. Like, you guys are just, like, I would say probably the best suited couple I know for each other. And I feel like it is really inspiring because I do think that our relationships are very different in a lot of ways. And it's really cool because I think that they're both, like, super healthy and functional and great. And it's really cool to get, like, insight into your relationship because I think that, like, you guys kind of thrive when you, like, solo travel and then, like, come home to him and get to, like, share all your adventures. Mm-hmm. And I feel like you, like, are still, like, such a boss lady and mm-hmm. such a, like, entrepreneur. And I don't know. It's just really cool, like, even seeing him work on the channel more and more. It's just so awesome. Yeah. So
I love him so much. That. I don't really like getting, like, icky and gooey, but, like, he's super cool. I do. I know you do.
I will please talk more icky and gooey about Steven.
What do you think is the hardest part about marriage? Or I guess it was the least favorite part.
Let me see what I said. Oh, okay. So it's actually, like, the same exact thing. It's that I am, like, so obsessed with Kyle and I love him so much that I feel like it's, like, a little scary sometimes. Like, I think that it's really hard, like, when Kyle gets sad because I just, like, I love him so much and I cannot stand him being sad. Like, he had a really, really important family member pass away this year and it was, like, definitely the saddest, like, most depressed I've ever seen him. And it was really, really, really hard to watch. And so it's hard because I feel like I'm already such an empathetic person. And so to have someone that I'm so close to, I do feel like when he goes through hard things, I also, like...
It makes you more vulnerable.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you care so much that you can get hurt and not get hurt by, like, him leaving you or something, but get hurt by, like, his pain.
Yeah, or even little things. Like, if he has, like, a hard day at work and comes home, like, stressed, then I feel like I'm stressed for him because I want to make sure that, like, he loves his job and is, like, fulfilled and happy and whatever. It's not just like, oh, Kyle had a hard day, but, like, my day was freaking great.
Yeah.
So, like, let's have some dinner. It's like, okay, like, what can we do about this? I don't want you to feel like this. whatever. So I feel like that's the hardest thing, is just kind of like taking on his problems, if that makes sense. Yeah.
I think for me, it's just understanding someone else's dynamic. Yeah. And like, the longer you're together, the more you understand them. Mm-hmm. And I think Carrie and I were talking about relationships when she came over and she slept over. And we were talking about how, like, in a relationship, you can be one together, like, mm-hmm. two people becoming one, but you're not like one blob person where you just understand everything the exact same way and like are the same person. Like, you're still two separate people bonded together.
Yeah.
And so you, in a sense, you're one, but you're also still individuals. And so you're not gonna agree on everything.
Well, and I think it gets harder too the longer that you're together, because like you said, you do understand that person so much better the longer you're together. And so I feel like it's hard, because I feel like a lot of times you like guess how they're going to react to a situation, even if it's completely different than how you are. And so when they don't react that way, you're like, what? Like, that's not how I would react or how you would react. Yeah. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, and I think it's just learning someone else's dynamic. And then even once you learn it, like you said, they're not a predictable person all the time. And they're going to react differently, and it could upset you. And just being understanding that, like, you are not the same person. You can have very similar, like, thoughts and beliefs and values. But, like, at the end of the day, there are going to be some things that you're like, I don't understand how your brain came to that conclusion.
Yeah. Well, and I think both of us married people who have very similar interests to us and are very similar in a lot of ways, but we both kind of ended up with yin-yang personality types. And so I think sometimes it's hard to be like, but why do you think like that? Like, like, just explain it to me, because I don't get it.
So should we talk about my breakdown?
Sure. I'll let you kind of take the lead.
So I would say for the past couple months been feeling a little bit overworked. And I think it's hard because we talked about this in the Carrie podcast, but I never want to be viewed as lazy. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people can look at the business that I've built and be like, I have an editor, I have a production assistant, I have a producer, like, but like, what are you doing that's taking so much time? But there is, I mean, so much, like, even just like video outlines and emails and brand deals and then traveling for work and then all of that combined, and now doing the podcast and vlogging and everything. And even when my editor edits something, I still have to review it and send notes. And it's just like, I would say for the past couple months, I've been getting close to burnt out. I don't want to say burnt out, because I'm not burnt out, but I see myself getting close to that. And I don't want to get to the point where I like have a breakdown and quit YouTube or step away from YouTube for like a month. Like, I want to make, I see those like warning signs flashing, and I want to make changes to my life and my schedule now so that like I don't get to that point. Like, we were joking about how like December is going to be so crazy and I'm going to have such an awful work-life balance because I'm going to be filming 2 videos a week and doing Vlogmas and traveling and the streamies and this and that, the podcast. And, you know, I'm planning your bridal or your baby shower right now. Like, there's just so much. And like, if I know that December is going to be stressful, instead of just joking about it, maybe I should like change some things to try to make it easier.
Yeah.
So I'd already been having those thoughts. Skylar had talked to me about it. We went to Hadestown, which was fantastic. And there's the scene at the end where they're like, I don't remember the exact line, but it's like they're working in Hadestown and they're like talk about how like their work sets them free, but like freedom isn't real because all they do is work. And I was like, oh my God, it's me. Like, I have this amazing job and this amazing platform and I'm living my dream and I get to be my own boss and set my own hours. But I work so much that freedom is like then making me not free. And it's just this whole thing. And we got back to the room and I asked Skylar, I was like, I was telling her about how I was feeling about that. And I was like, what do you think about me going down to 1 video a week on my main channel?
So we like were walking back from the theater and we were starting to kind of have this conversation. I could tell there was like some sort of kind of like funky energy happening. Like, I could tell you were like deep in thought about something. And so I was like, hey, do you want to go to the hotel bar and we can just like have a drink, have some chips and like talk for a bit, like just as friends, like not as like a producer on your channel, not as anything, like let's just hang out. And we got down there and you were asking me like how life was and whatever. And you said, I don't remember exactly what you said, but it was something like, yeah, I think you mentioned that like you and Kyle just had a Hunger Games marathon the other weekend. Like, how was that? And I was like, good? Like, kind of like a little boring. Like, it was like fun. Like, we like woke up and had vegan cinnamon rolls and like watched the Hunger Games in bed and didn't really get ready. And it was like a good Saturday. And you were like, I want that. Like I want like a marathon of a show that I didn't plan in advance.
That's the thing. It's like, it's not like Steven and I don't spend time together, but it's planned out like a month in advance. It's like, yeah. I have one free Saturday from like 5 to 10 and we will make dinner and have this date. Like, I would love to just it be a Saturday and be like, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
Do you want to watch the Hunger Games? Sure. Like, yeah. That is just so far out of my zeitgeist. And I think it really made me think about, we had gone to this panel at this YouTuber convention called Clamor, where they were talking about like different types of YouTubers.
Yeah.
And there was they were talking about like different ways that you can like build a business. And like one of the ones that they had said was like, you can build a huge business. Like Rhett and Link was the example that they used. And They were like, they have this huge team. They're doing really cool stuff. They have all these different things going on, but like, every minute of their day is scheduled. Like, they have to schedule in 5 minutes to play with their dogs.
Yeah.
And I was like, at the time when we went to that panel, I was like, that's what I want.
Yeah.
And then the other example they used was Jenna Marbles, which was like, you play the YouTube game, you make videos every week, you keep your team small, and you maybe have like 5 or 6 people on your team versus Rhett and Link who have like 100, and you make content that you love and you just keep doing it. And I was like, nah, I don't want that. Yeah. And then I looked at that and I'm like, I actually do think I want more of like the Jenna Marbles thing than the Rhett and Link.
Well, because you told me that the other day you literally put in your schedule like hang out with my dogs, and that it was a big like kind of breaking turning point for you of you being like, this is sad. I work at home. Like, yeah. You literally like, our office is in your home.
Yeah.
The dogs are here. All day, every day. And the fact that you had to write in, like, 5 minutes.
To sit and play with them. And then I apologized for it.
Yeah.
Like, you came in and you were like, oh, hey. Like, you were surprised that I wasn't in the office. I was like,
yeah,
sorry, I just scheduled in 5 minutes to, like, sit with the dogs. And you were like, no, it's fine. Like, you're good.
Yeah. But I was surprised when I got in and you were on the couch, like, hanging out with the dogs. Because I was like, oh, I thought we were filming. Totally fine. Absolutely. Play with your dogs. We're good.
Yeah.
Nothing to apologize for. But that was, like, so kind of uncommon for you to, like, take that extra time after lunch to just, like, hang out. Yeah. That I was like, oh, what's going on?
Yeah.
You know? And I think, too, another thing we had talked about was, like, a big part of it's hard because I think you have reached this level of, like, we'll say success in quotation marks because I don't want to, like, place anything on you. But you aren't really getting to enjoy a lot of the, like, fruits of your labor. Yeah. Of, like, how cool that you're probably going to hit 1 million subscribers this week. Like, that is so awesome. Like, so this, crazy. Like, live podcast recording, so amazing. The fact that, like, we're, like, adding to our team is so amazing. Like, we're doing so many awesome, cool things. And you are getting to, like, travel and whatever. But there's always a work element to it. Yeah. Like, you were saying that one of, like, the biggest things for you and Steven moving into this house was, like, you really wanted to, like, host. Like, yeah. You really wanted to, like, have a summer barbecue. Yeah. And, like, put up festoon lights and do the whole thing. And you were like, we didn't do it. Yeah. Like, we didn't, I just was too busy, you know? And so I think it is hard because I think from an outside perspective, it's so easy to see, like, oh my gosh, Ciro's just in New York. Now she's going to, like, Texas and then Chicago and Florida and all these places. And it's so easy to be like, oh my gosh, how fun. I wish I could go to New York.
Yeah. But it is fun and it is cool, but.
But the reality is that we worked every single day.
Yeah.
We didn't have a single, like, day off when we were there. We chose to, once we got done filming or, like, done going to the convention, like, to go to a Broadway show.
Yeah.
But, like, most people would have just gone to bed at that point.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's you making the most of work trips or you adding work onto your regular trips. Like, even you vlogging, like, when you and Steven are going to Disney World, will be fun work.
Yeah.
But it's still work.
Yeah. Like, and I'll still probably do 2 to 3 hours of email every day.
And, like, you'll still be, like, posing for thumbnails and reviewing footage and doing all the things. And so I think it's a hard balance when I think it kind of put you into, like, a mental state where you started, like, analyzing everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we were – one of the things you asked me when we were sitting in the hotel bar is you were like, what are you proud of?
Yeah.
Like, why did you start YouTube and what are you proud of now? And I was like, I started YouTube because I wanted to, like, connect with other people and have something that I felt like I made. Mm-hmm. And I definitely have that. And I feel very good about the content that I'm making. I wouldn't say that I'm, like – I'm happy that I put out 2 videos a week, but it's not, like, a sense of pride for me. What I'm proud of is, like, the content that I create, like, whether it's 1 video a week or 2 days a week or 2 videos a week. I'm proud of, like, the message that I try to put into my channel. I'm proud of, like, the podcast. I'm proud of, like, the relationships that I create with the people who watch my videos. And, like, that doesn't go away if I go down to 1 video a week. And the thing is, like, going down to 1 video a week in November is, like, literally considered, like, the worst thing you can do as a YouTuber, because the highest AdSense is November and December. But, like, I don't really care about making a lot of money.
Yeah.
Like, I want to, like, make a profit on YouTube so that I can, like, pay my team members and, like, have this be my full-time job. But if I make half the money that I would have made in November and December, but, like, I'm much happier and I get to, like, hang out with my little brother once in a while and, like, go to my family's barbecues, that's so much better to me. And I get to put more, if I'm just doing the 1 video a week, I get to put more into it. And then that Tuesday video slot can be, like, an every now and then kind of thing.
Well, and I think, too, kind of going off of what you were just saying, I think that if I didn't ask you to sit down and do this, so, I mean, I don't know. I'm just guessing. But I would guess if I asked you to go through your video uploads of the last 3 months, I would guess that the videos you're the most proud of are mostly, like, recreating magazine photos but making them body positive, or, like, anything that really has a message that, like, resonates with people. Yeah. And is, like, impactful, planned out, like, something that people are gaining from. And I think to continue making that content at the volume that we're making it, at the production quality we're making it, like, at the end of the day, there are certain things that only you can do.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like we are making efforts to, like, expand our team and to, like, divvy up labor and, you know, to have, like, me take on certain things and Carly and Steven and whoever. But I think that at the end of the day, like, you have to be on camera.
Yeah.
You have to be the one who's, like, scripting things, because it's your voice, it's your message, it's your story.
Yep.
And also, like, there's a lot of, like, back-end stuff that you logistically, like, have to do. Like, no one else can do for you. And I think that, like, it's so important to keep doing those videos and not just to be like, okay, what can we film really quick? And because at the end of the day, like, those videos are still funny and fun and great, but you aren't as, like, proud of them.
Yeah.
And, like, your YouTube, like, video index is kind of like your portfolio, you know? Like, every video you put out is, like, an extra video that didn't exist.
That's true.
You know? Like, it's free content for everyone.
Yeah.
So.
And, I mean, that's the thing also is, like, all of my content is free.
Yeah.
I've been getting a lot of pressure from, like, people on the back end of YouTube and of my channel to be like, you should try memberships, you should try Patreon, you should try Cameo. And I'm like, I just want everything to be free.
Yeah.
Like, I don't.
I mean, even circling back to the live show, yeah. Like, you wanted to try and make it free, and we were like, Sierra, logistically, this, like, cannot happen. Be free. But
like, I don't feel like I need to put a paywall up. I don't feel like that's what motivates me. Like, I feel like what motivates me is, like, making content that I'm proud of and, like, that hopefully can impact someone. And I think one of the things that you said to me that really, like, helped me and resonated with me is, like, Steve, like, we were talking about, like, my marriage and, like, relationships and how, like, I want to take the most I can out of this opportunity that I've been given on YouTube. And, like, I was telling you, I was like, what's Steven gonna think if I go down to 2 videos a week? And you were like, he'll be happy. Like, that means he'll have more time with you. Like, Steven didn't marry you because you're a YouTuber who posts two videos a week. Like, yeah. Steven married you because he loves you. And, like it doesn't...
Even, like, logistically of, like, how we were talking about November and December being, like, high AdSense rates and yeah. all that. I feel like, Steven didn't marry you for money.
No. I made $0 when we
like,
got married.
Like, that straight up about it. Yeah. Like, Steven did not marry you being, like... I'm going to marry this girl and she's going to be a YouTuber and she's going to post two videos a week and it's going to be so great in November and December.
Yeah.
He married you because, like, he wants to have dinner with you.
Yeah.
And, like, he loves you yeah. and is proud of you and is, like, it's kind of like how we were talking about earlier of if you're not stressed, if you're in a good mental state, like, he can tell that and he thrives off of that.
Right.
You know? Just
right.
like how you would if Steven was overworked and he was like, hey, I think I want to cut my workload down. You'd be like,
of course.
Freaking awesome.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Great.
But it is interesting because, like you said, November, December being the highest point for AdSense, everyone kind of other than you and Steven is like, oh, well, you could just like, why don't you go back to one video a week in January? And I'm like, because I don't want to just be like stressed and overworked for the next month and a half, 2 months.
Well, and also not to get like... deep with it, but like you do only have one life and like not every day is promised, like yeah. I feel like the idea of like continuing to do something that's like you've deemed as unhealthy for yourself just until a certain point and then like it can be done is like no, let's change this today. Like I think that I mean logistically we have videos scheduled out so it's not going to be today when the change happens
right.
but like let's start proactively planning for that like yeah. what can like what are our action items to make you have a healthier like work-life balance
yeah.
and just like be happier
and be able to enjoy my trip to Disney World. That was a big thing yeah. too. It's like I was like, okay, I'm gonna film two main channel videos while I'm there and vlog and do this and do that, and you were like, what if you just go?
Yeah.
And like you can vlog if you want, but like you don't have to. And I think this conversation kind of like led me to a spiral of like, should I just quit? Like, should I just stop posting on YouTube? Like, would my yeah. life be better if I wasn't a YouTuber? And I think the answer to that is no. I think my life is exponentially better because I make YouTube videos. So I don't think the answer is like, stop making videos or like, make one video a month. Like, I am so happy and get so much fulfillment and so much community and so much support from being a YouTuber. And I don't want to get to that point where I feel like I have to quit.
Well, and that's, I feel like, kind of what we're talking about of, like, you weren't burnt out, but I would say you were very close to that point.
Yes.
I think if at any point you're thinking with, I mean, whoever's listening, with whatever job you have,
yeah.
of, I mean, I've quit jobs before. Like, I had a fellowship that I literally just walked out of and quit. Like, and that's because I was working, like, 80 hours a week. It was super unhealthy. My boss was, like, awful. And it got to a point where I was like, this is it. I'm done. Like, I'm not willing to sit and have a discussion about, like, me cutting back to 40 hours a week and you hiring someone else to replace her and this, that, and the other. Because it had gotten to a point where I was like, I am done.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing that can make the situation better. And I feel like if you ever are getting to that point... like a month beforehand, if you can, you should stop and be like, okay, what can I do that would make me want to stay?
Yeah.
And then do that. Because yeah. if before I had gotten to that breaking point, I had realized that and had a talk with my other supervisor and been like, hey, I am super overworked and this person is awful. Like, what can we do about it? They would have made those changes. Like yeah. a month after I left, that woman got fired and everything changed and it was a lot better place to work. And I feel like it's the same for you of if you had just kept going and then been like, okay, that's it. I'm quitting. This is way too much. I need to have my life back. That would have been awful. But because you were able to like stop it in its tracks and be like, what will make me love my job?
Yeah.
What will make me love my job is working like 40, 50 hours a week.
Right.
And like not having this like commitment of like, if I don't post two videos a week, I'm the worst person in the world.
Well, and I think the thing is, I like the idea of keeping that second video up in the air.
Yeah.
Because when we're just at home, when there's no travel, when there's no, like, huge shoots we're planning up in LA, it's totally feasible to do two videos a week on a good work-life balance.
Yeah.
But the problem is, like, So I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks trying to pre-film 4 videos. Well, actually, it'd be more like 6 videos because we don't get to just film the day I get back. And then I need to give my editor time to edit it. But like, so we'd have to film like 6 videos. Instead saying filming like, I'm going to film 3 videos before I go. Like, that is so much easier. And then if there's an extra video I want to throw in, if there's like a, something really topical I want to do, if I'm really inspired about something, I can throw in that extra video. Yeah. But just not being like married to that idea and not feeling like, I think it's really important to define like, I get value and I get enjoyment and motivation out of like creating content on YouTube, not necessarily creating 2 videos a week on YouTube.
Well, and I think too, a really big thing that's like hard to kind of like get settled on is I legitimately, and you might know, I don't know if there will ever come a time where it's just like you have no trips planned and like nothing big is happening.
Yeah.
I feel like you, both you and Steven, but especially you, like love traveling a lot.
Yeah,
like you guys just went to Europe. You're going, I mean, we just went to New York for a work trip. You're going out to Texas for another work trip. And then you guys are, or before that, you're going to Florida. And then immediately after that, you're going for another work trip. And then like, in the near future, you guys are going to start, like, trying to conceive.
Right.
Which will also be crazy if, like, you were to get pregnant.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and I'm sure you guys will continue to travel. There will continue to be work trips. And so there will be some weeks of in between where, like, we aren't going up to LA and you're not traveling and you're not whatever. But I feel like that's just kind of the nature of the job is that, like, we're going to have LA shoots. We're going to have, like, big production things, like maybe we'll have more live shows, maybe, you know, we don't know, but I feel like not having like any like set in stone thing for that Tuesday video is just like gonna be life changing.
Well, and then I think I also think about like a year ago or a year and a half ago or 2 years ago when I was making 2 videos a week and didn't have an editor, and I'm like, how was I able to do that? And it's like, well, my videos were like 4 minutes long, whereas now they're like 18 to 30 minutes long. Everything was like just filmed in my house. Like I didn't have big shoots, I didn't have big things, like, and my Friday video was like a lookbook or a haul, but then my Tuesday video would just be like a sit and chat to camera video.
Yeah,
like that took me maybe an hour to edit.
Well, and also at this time last year, your main channel had the same amount of subscribers as your vlog channel had, so if you think about like the amount of like,
I think this time 2 years ago.
But if you think about like the quote-unquote, like, effort you put into your vlog channel, it's much more natural.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, we'll put out a couple vlogs a week, like, depending on what we're doing. And I feel like you've always been someone who's, like, pretty strategic with your work. But I think it was a little bit looser of, like, I'll do a sit and chat about body positivity.
Right.
I'll do a whatever. Whereas now you have this big audience who I feel like does place a lot of expectations on you. And you do get a lot more messages of, like, I mean, even when we, like, didn't post a podcast because I was sick. I feel like I know I got a decent amount of messages being like, oh, I'm so disappointed. Like, I listened to this on my drive to work. I this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
Which is totally valid.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. I also get sad when, like, content that I'm expecting isn't there.
Right.
But for your main channel, that's so much more. And so I do think that it there's that added pressure.
Yeah. I think also what was important for us to have that conversation, then we called Steven when we went back to the hotel room and kind of talked about it with him too, is like, what is my purpose?
Yeah.
Like, that was kind of the existential part of my crisis, was like, why am I here? Like, what is my purpose to like work crazy hours? Like, if I died tomorrow, would I be happy with the amount of time that I spent with my family, or would I like look back on it with regret? And then I think what really like made me think was like, I do think part of my purpose is being on YouTube and making content, but I don't think that necessarily means I have to make 2 videos a week and a podcast and multiple vlogs, like, and Instagram posts and everything. Like, I can scale back a little bit, and that's okay. And like, I'm still, I think my purpose is to do that, but also to like have a family and spend time with my husband. And like, I saw my mom the other day and she's like, I feel like I haven't seen you in like 2 months. And I'm like, yeah, actually, yeah. And like, my mom and I live so close to each other.
Yeah.
Like, I live so close to my family and I don't get to see them because I'm so busy. And all the time, I get invited to things and I'm like, oh, sorry, I can't go. Like, I need like 3 months notice to be able to schedule anything in. And I want to get to the point, and I hope that scaling back a little bit can help, where I feel like I'm doing my job online. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm creating content that matters. And I also feel like I'm nurturing my real life relationships.
Yeah. Well, and I think too, circling back, because I do think it's important to talk about your real life relationships, but I just like want to put extra emphasis on that. I truly believe from the bottom of my heart that you might even be serving a greater purpose if you were to put out less content, because then I think that the content that you're putting out will really come from like your heart and soul. Yeah. Like if we were to look at our video schedule and you were to have to delete half of the content that's on there, the ones that stayed would be ones that you like really truly love and are passionate about.
Yeah.
You know?
No, because so true.
I feel like 99% of the I feel like 100% of the videos that we put out you love.
Oh yeah.
But I feel like there are certain ones where you're like, I really hope people see this.
Yeah.
Like I really really hope that, because like even we were talking about on the podcast with Carrie, she was like, I cried over the Victoria's Secret photo shoot because that like really resonates with people, you know.
Yeah.
And so I think it's cool, it'll be cool to see like what we're able to do with, I mean, it's not really extra time because the goal is that we'll just be taking away time.
Yeah.
And not like filling that time with more stuff, but I think it'll be cool to see like what you're able to really zero in on.
Yeah.
Too, when it's,
I'm excited. I feel very like passionate and very grateful that I love the content that I create and that I love the people who watch my content. And I feel like I came back from that New York trip feeling like that night was hard and I like cried a lot. And yeah. I was like, what's my purpose? Am I working my life away, or am I throwing away this amazing opportunity I have online? And I feel like now I'm like, okay, I know what I need to do. I know the changes that I'm going to make. And, like, I still feel really passionate about what I'm creating. So, thank you for, like, coaching me through that.
Oh,
I feel like we hadn't had one of those moments in probably since, like, late high school, early college, where, like, one of us was having, like, a full-on breakdown.
Yeah. But I think that, I don't know, I think it is really important. Like, another thing I asked you was, like, what were your happiest moments of this year? Like, looking back, and you were, like, honestly, like, Harlan being born, my grandma doing like aerobics in the pool, like in Mexico, like you telling me that you're pregnant, like with Stephen and I in Venice, like it was all things that were like personal life related. And I do think you find so much fulfillment out of work, and it's like 1,000,000% normal and great to have some work things thrown in there.
Right.
But the fact that like all the things you first thought of were personal life things, and that you feel as though you're not getting enough time for your personal life is like, well, if that's what is bringing you, like, if that's what, when you look back on like your catalog of life, like those are the top things that you remember from 2019, then like, let's create more of those moments.
Yeah.
You know, like I feel like you, like I've been seeing like you and Kenzie have been hanging out a lot more. Yeah. And like, obviously you hung out with your mom. Like, I think it's cool that you're able to, like, realize that and, like, work towards that.
Well, I'm grateful that I have people like you and Steven in my life who, like, encourage me to do what's right for me, but also, like, are willing to tell me, like, honestly, like, I think you should slow down, or honestly, I think you should do this. And, like, it's so great that I have you and Steven, and I love you guys. Should we get into advice?
Yeah, let's do it.
Hi, Sierra. Hi, Skylar.
Hi.
Oh, and Carly. First of all, I just love you guys so much. My name is Allie, and I'm guessing that I'm one of your youngest callers so far.
Aww.
I'm only 14, and I'm in eighth grade. But I love listening to your podcasts and watching your videos. But anyway, my problem is that I don't do any after-school activities like sports because I'm very non-athletic and clubs.
Really.
And I honestly don't have any hobbies. I really wish I could, like, get a job even though I'm 14, but I really love being productive, and I don't have anywhere to, like, put that energy when I'm done with homework. So if you have any advice, that would be super appreciated. Love you all. Thanks.
Love you. Oh, my gosh. Aww. She sounds like you.
Aw, that's very sweet.
But I think you should find some sort of hobby that's also social, because my first – my first thing was going to be like, oh, like there are so many hobbies you can do on your own. Like you could pick up an instrument, you could learn how to sew, you could get really into like any, literally so many things, especially with the internet, that you can do on your own. But since you don't really have any after school like sports or activities that you're really into, I think it would be great for you to find some sort of unsports related activity, like maybe an art class or a photography class, or like my brother used to play D&D at the library after school, and like that was his thing, and like he loved it, and he got to have like time with like other people and socialize and have this fun activity. So I think I would recommend you find something like that, that is you gaining a skill but also an opportunity for you to like socialize with other people who are also learning this skill.
Honestly, I feel like the advice that you just gave is much better than the advice I was going to give, so go with Sierra's advice. My advice, really quickly, I feel like there are a lot of fun hobbies that you can do that also, like, you can, like, make a business out of or get skills that will, like, help you in the future. Like, if you were going to make, like, an Etsy shop to sell Disney ears. Like, that's something really fun and creative that you can do as, like, a 14-year-old. But then also, like, you could, like, learn how to sell things on the internet and, like, learn how to sew and learn how to, like, come up with designs and I don't know. So that was going to be my advice, but I like the advice of, like, being social because I think that's what I needed when I was 14.
Also, if you're not sure where to start with social activities, I highly recommend auditioning for your community theater. Even if you think you have no skill when it comes to singing, dancing, acting, like, community theater, everyone's in the same boat. Mm-hmm. Like, there are going to be those kids who do every show and always get the lead, but, like, that's a small, small minority of the kids who do theater. Like, the vast majority of kids who do theater are just looking for something fun to do, want something to do after school. It's cool because you get to socialize with people and you create this bond. And also, it really helps you with, like, public speaking skills and, you know, for the future, just communication in general. And you get this feeling of accomplishment when your show opens that you are creating this thing and doing this cool piece of art with other people.
Taking that one step further, if you don't have any urge to be a performer, the technical theater department is always looking for more volunteers.
I guarantee they would love to have you. You can learn how to, like, be run a light board.
Yeah, you could be a spotlight operator. You could be a costuming assistant. You could be assistant stage manager.
You could do curtain. Like,
and I have heard from so many people, like, even your dad, who's a professor, has said, like, he would totally hire someone who had a theater degree because he knows that then that means that, like, they have all of these skill sets.
Yeah.
And so I just... It's like, isn't that a thing in High School Musical where she's like, the theater department is always looking for more male volunteers?
Yep.
But I feel like the technical theater department, it, like any community theater program,
yep,
would be happy to have you.
So I'd say...
And you could maybe get paid. Yeah. I got paid when I was 14 to be like an assistant stage manager.
Let's see, when did I start working? I started working at the theater, yeah, when I was 14. I had been doing shows there since I was like 7. And then from, like, 14 to 16, I just got paid, like, they'd give us, like, $50 for a day of work or, like, just kind of, like, incentives. Yeah. And then when I was 16, I started actually getting paid hourly. And I actually, like, got to make some decent money. And, like, I bought myself a Disneyland pass. And it was cool to have that expendable income. And also, we both learned a lot of skills in theater, mm-hmm, that, like, we use on my channel.
Yeah. I mean, I went on to, that's like what I did before I worked for Sierra was, yeah, and even while I worked for Sierra up until very recently, like I did professional technical theater. So I'm always a big proponent of that. And if you're looking for a job that will hire you when you're 14, yeah, your local theater probably will.
Hit them up.
Yeah. All right. Awesome.
Next question.
Hey, Sierra. I love your podcast and I absolutely love your channel.
Thank you.
I was just calling for a little bit of advice. I have recently been diagnosed with bipolar disorder, which I know you have talked about struggling with in the past, and it's really taken a toll on my relationship. So I was just wondering if you had any tips or, tricks for dealing with that, especially, in a relationship. I don't know. I've really been struggling with it, and I thought there'd be nobody better to ask other than you. All right. Thank you.
That's very sweet. I'm honored that you reached out to me for advice in that. I just want to put a disclaimer. I am not a therapist. I'm not a trained mental health professional. I'm just going to give some insight on what's helped me personally, but I highly recommend that you seek out professional help and therapy because that was easily the most helpful thing for me. And it's important to remember that Therapy and medication are not one size fits all. What works for me might not work for you. And also, if you are meeting with a therapist or getting prescribed a medication and you don't feel like it's working for you, there are lots of other options. Like, yeah. I had to try, I think, 3 different medications until I found one that actually worked for me for my bipolar disorder, because it affects everyone's brain chemistry differently. So find mental health professionals who are working for you and working with you. In terms of relationships, I think what helped me the most is explaining my situation to other people. And my bipolar disorder is sometimes an explanation for why I act the way that I do, why some things might upset me more than on the surface you would think they should. But I don't think, I think it's important to differentiate the two and let the person know so that they understand you. But also, you know, apologizing when you are in the wrong, even if it was because of your bipolar disorder, and not expecting the person to fix you. I think I spent a long time in my teens dating people who I thought could fix me and feeling so broken and expecting my partner to make me better when what I really needed was just a partner who loved and supported me so that I could make myself better.
I think that's great advice.
Yeah. And just practically, like, therapy is great because you get to talk through things, but also I learned so many great, like, coping mechanisms. Like, I know for me, when I am kind of spiraling downwards, it helps me, and I'm not really a hippy-dippy person, but it helps me to take my shoes off and stand in the grass. Like, it physically grounds me.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have known that if my therapist hadn't recommended it, and I was kind of like, that's ridiculous, I'm not going to do that. And then I was having a really rough day, and my mom was like, why don't you try that? And I did, and I was like, oh my gosh, I feel, it was one of those things that can remind me, like, life is so much more than what I'm feeling right now, and I can get through this. And so yeah. I think it's just learning those little coping mechanisms that can work for yourself. So I wish you the best of luck. Remember that you are not broken. It is, you know, part of your brain chemistry. It's a chemical imbalance, and that's okay. And some days will be harder than others, but I'm rooting for you.
Woo woo!
Woo woo!
Hi, my question is, what is your favorite part of working in the beauty industry?
Oh, short and sweet. I like it.
Why don't you go first? Because I feel like you work in the beauty industry more than I do.
It's true. I think my favorite part is watching the industry change.
Mm-hmm.
When I was growing up, there really was like one type of beauty. There was like one body that you strive to have, one hair look that you just like tried to have. And now, knowing that there's so many huge changes going on, because of everyone in the world changing their attitudes and insisting that these brands catch up. And so it's really cool seeing the change that happens in the beauty industry. And it makes me very hopeful that kids, you know, I think we both ended up pretty body positive despite growing up in a world that told us that our bodies were wrong.
Yeah.
And it's very exciting to think about kids growing up now in a world that tells them that their body is right and their body is good and their body is beautiful. And knowing that there's real change happening, and hopefully that can change the way people view themselves.
I think for me, I think I do tend to have a little more of like an initial negative reaction to beauty things. Like, I just, like, I wouldn't say I'm necessarily a fan of the beauty industry, like, as a whole. Like, I like makeup and like hair products, but like, I just, like, I don't really consume beauty content. But I think my favorite thing from like actually working in it is like being surprised by people. Cause I think like there have been people who I've met who I'm like, this is what I think of when I think of the beauty industry. But there have been way more than that. People who I'm like, you are so amazing. You're so genuine. Like, you're changing the zeitgeist. Like, you are like, I don't know, really like amplifying diverse voices by like doing what you're doing and yeah. being who you are and showing that to like especially like young viewers. And so I think my favorite thing is how often I'm surprised mm-hmm. by like how wonderful people are.
I agree with that. I think it's it is surprising sometimes when you're, I mean, even we went to BeautyCon, we didn't have a great time, but there were people that we met who showed us so much like kindness and were doing such cool things and made us feel welcome despite everything. And it's, that is refreshing.
Well, and even talking about like Ipsy, like we talked about this one, I feel like we were going in hoping for the best, but since we had just been like really kind of bitten by BeautyCon, I feel like both of us were a little timid of like, we showed up and we're like, okay, nothing is happening. Is this going to be BeautyCon? What's happening? And then like 5 minutes later, we were like, oh my gosh, we're chatting with the best people, having the best time. Like, this is so amazing, meeting like such diverse people, such wonderful people. And so I feel like it's so cool. I feel like we kept turning to each other being like, this is amazing. Like, you turned to me at one point, you're like, so what do you think the difference is between a convention like this and a convention where we don't feel great about ourselves? And I was like, I think it's the people. Like, I genuinely think that all the people here are nice and kind and great.
Yeah.
And so I feel like it's always wonderful walking in and, or more like walking out of a situation and being like, that was 10 out of 10.
Yeah, I agree.
So,
and if any of you guys want to leave us voicemails for future podcasts, you can call us at 8778-SIERRA with your question. If you live in the U.S., if you're out of the U.S., feel free to send a record a voice memo, like on your phone, and then email it to sierraunfiltered@gmail.com.
And also buy tickets to the live show, yes! Guys.
I can't believe, I'm so interested to see like how many people go. Like, I know we always talk about my imposter syndrome, but I literally am like, oh, maybe like 10 people will buy tickets.
She literally keeps saying that. Like, even I was like looking at how much merch we should order. And I was like, okay, well, like if we sell out, then this, that, and the other. And she was like, we're not going to sell out. What do you mean? And I was like, Sierra, people like you. I know it's hard to comprehend, but like, people are going to show up. So please show up. If anything, just to prove to Sierra that she's not an imposter and that I am right. So. But we love you guys.
We love you guys. Give us a review on Apple Podcasts.
Also, I feel like more than anything, subscribe to the channel.
Yeah.
We get so many listens from people who aren't subscribed, and it's, I just feel like a really cool thing for people to get to like know when we post videos, because we do post a wide range of topics. Yeah, and so it's cool.
Cool. If you're listening, I just shot finger guns at you, but we love you guys and we'll see you on Monday. Bye.